Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Well, praise the Lord, saints. It's so blessed to be in the house of God. And hey, listen, before we get into our Bible study, I want to share what took place last night. And so it was probably about 6:30, I believe. Was it about 6:30? Oh, yeah, it was a little later. But anyways, I was sitting in my back room, and I get a call from Catherine. Katerina. You guys know everybody said to Katerina. And I picked up, and she says, Pastor Fee, my mother's roommate, they're giving her a few hours to live. Could you come and pray? In my flesh, I didn't want to get out of that couch. We're about ready to have a movie with all my grandkids that are down from Arkansas. But the Spirit of God in me said, go, go, go. And so I told her, yes, I'll be there. And so we left, and I took Sister Yolanda with me. So we come to this facility. It's a caregiving facility. It's in Chula Vista on F Street, right before you get to Broadway. It's a big facility. And so we walk into this little room, and Catherine met us there with her mom, Dawn. And we walk into the room, and there's this 79-year-old lady in bed, and you can see that her life was slipping. But her daughter was right next to her, standing up over her bedside. And you can see that she was so burdened. She was just heavy. There was a heaviness on her. So basically I said, listen, I truly believe, and this is Pastor Fee now, I truly believe that if there's still life in that body, if that body's still breathing, and the heart's still beating, the soul is still there.
That's right.
And so I truly believe that the soul has ears to hear. So I turned to her, and she said her name was Lydia, the daughter. Her mom's name was Kabina. Kabina, C-A-B-I-N-A, I believe. And obviously, she was laying there. Her eyes were open. Her mouth was open. And you can see that she probably is slipping away. And I said, Kabina, I started rubbing her forehead and her hair. And as I was ministering to her, I go, Kavina, I'm going to ask your daughter to pray, because all she spoke was Spanish. So the daughter interpreted to me. And I said, we're going to believe God for your salvation. And so as I was saying the sinner's prayer, Lydia was repeating that. Now, Yolanda was on the far side of the bed, where her shins were exposed and her feet. She had like a gown on. And as soon as we started praying, her legs started just going up and down, moving, right? But that wasn't the testimony. Because I really believe that her soul had received the Lord. But when I was done with her, I turned to Lydia. I said, Lydia, God wants to come into you now and sup with you. God wants to save you. Do you want Jesus as your Lord and Savior? You see, before we went into the room, Sister Catherine already shared with me, hey, you know what? They're Catholic. I go, it's okay. What I do is I just bring Jesus to them. I don't talk about anything else. And so I said, Lydia, do you want to receive Christ? I believe your mom just did. And she goes, yes, I do. As soon as we started praying, it's like the Lord came into the room.
Yes.
The whole room lit up. And I know for a fact that the Holy Spirit came in that room, because Catherine couldn't go to bed till 3 in the morning. I couldn't go to bed till 2 no more. We were lit up. It was an encounter by God that came in that room. And as we were praying for Lydia, the Holy Ghost came in the room, lit up the whole room. And as soon as she ended the prayer by accepting the Lord, she turned around to us. She goes, I'm so at peace. She goes, my anxiety, my stress, it's all gone. I said, Jesus, hallelujah, just came upon you. And God is now your God and Savior. And oh man, I'm telling you. She goes, oh my gosh, I never felt this before. She goes, I feel like a new person. I said, God just came in and introduced himself to you. But it was for all of us. I really believe God had to do that sign for us, because we're always going and we're always praying. And listen, your prayers are not in vain. But God had to come last night to let you know, I'm in the midst of you. I want you to keep on doing what you're doing. And let me tell you, when he comes into a room, you know he's there. Man, I'm telling you, he fills your whole being, and he lifts up your countenance, and you are feeling the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
I mean, I'm telling you, it was a blessing. And she goes, I want to go to your church. I want to go. I go, okay, you get a hold of Sister Catherine, and you come. But we're praying for your mom, that, because we believe that she just received Christ. And because of her, it was a divine appointment for you. And so I had to share this testimony, because it wasn't just a hospital visit. It was an encounter with God Almighty. He came in that little room where we were. Yes. Yes, amen. Amen. Let me just say this. I'm still at awe of what happened last night. But the God who spoke the whole world into existence came in that little room with us. And he spent his moment there with us. It's so incredible. It's hard to chew on this. It's hard to even explain it, other than, oh my gosh, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords came in, and he probably came in on bended knee. Because he was high and lifted up. He was exalted. We weren't ashamed. We weren't ashamed of him.
The angels rejoice when you...
That's right.
Yes.
Some children come to this.
The angels rejoice. So I had to share that. Family, we want to welcome Facebook and YouTube. I hope you enjoyed that testimony. I just wanted to share that to encourage you that God is at work still, and your prayers are not in vain. When you go pray for the sick, he's with you. He just had to come by himself and just tell us how much he loves us. And he gave us all a kiss on the cheek last night. And so we're mighty, mighty thankful. And it was hard to go to bed. You're lit up. When God lights you up, you're lit up. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And so, mighty, mighty thankful. And thank you for being obedient. thank you for calling. And I want to thank my wife. She could have said, oh, you just go. No, she came and got her blessing too. We got blessed last night. So remember, the next time you get a call, just go. Just go. Just go and do it. Drop what you're doing. Go. Because there's a reward. There's a blessing that God has laid up for you. Praise God. So with that, please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking now, Lord, I'm asking you, God, to give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to the screen here. I've entitled this evening's message, The Law of the Mind, of My Mind. The Law of My Mind. We're going to see that in Scripture. Last week, I believe it was the law is what? Holy? And then there was so many what this chapter indicated. But this one is the law of my mind. So turn with me to Romans chapter 7. And we're going to do our best to expound these last few verses in this chapter. And then next week we'll move on to chapter 8. But we're going to start in verse 20. And here we go. And it reads, now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. Okay, inward man. That's us. Amen? Look at verse 23. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. There it is. You see that right there? The law of my mind. And bringing me into captivity, the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And then it's answered right here, verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Did you catch that? It's like a dichotomy there. Okay, so it says right here, with the mind, I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Why? Why did he say that? Because in our members, in our body, there's still sin there. And we're never going to get rid of that sin until we get the new body. But now that we have the mind of Christ, now we can learn to serve the King. That's what we did last night. We got the call to go, right? So the law of God in our mind said, go and go pray. And that's what we did. Praise God. So let's break this down. Let's start with verse 20. And it reads, now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that what? Dwells in me. And so saints, in our sinful nature, we all know that there is nothing good. Can I get amen? Nothing good. Paul sees this as part of just being part of the human race. The fall, since Adam and Eve. Since they fell, all mankind has fallen. Even the creatures, the plant life, everything. Did you know that everything has a time frame? It lives and then it has to die. There's nothing on this earth that lives forever. Nothing. Even the oceans regenerate. Everything regenerates. It dies and then it creates itself again. God is the creator. And although we belong to Christ, saints of God, and have died to sin, we still live in a sinful world and have a sinful nature that is rotten through and through. Our sinful nature is rotten to the core. But that's why we need Jesus. And so the tension will always continue. It continues trying to do good and not being able to do it like the way God would really want it. Paul describes the person who knows what is good and might even desire to do it, but this person lacks the power. This is why I put this scripture up here. Look at this, right up here in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through who?
Christ.
Through Christ who strengthens me. We cannot do anything for God in our own strength. We couldn't even go there to pray for that lady last night in our own strength. We needed the power of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And God showed up.
Amen.
He showed up himself. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
And so believers, still, all of us, we have a sinful nature that pulls. It pulls us apart to do the things that a lot of times we don't want to do. But yet we do them. Why? Because we still live in this body of sin. Until God gives us that brand new body, we're never going to be perfect. Don't ever think you're perfect in your flesh. Don't ever say, yeah, I can do that. Yeah, oh, you know, no. It's by God's grace he allows us to even praise him. Can I get amen?
Yes.
Just even praise him is God's grace.
Yes.
And so the seeming contradiction of I do, I don't do, it emphasizes, saints of God, how difficult it is to identify the sources of our sinful behavior. It's so hard. I mean, I can think of 1,000 things that my flesh always derives and brings up to my mind. And everyone struggles in that. This is why we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? This is why we needed to be regenerated. Regeneration, meaning that light had to come in and drive out the darkness.
Amen.
To empower us, to enable us to even say yes and amen, God. And so without the Holy Spirit's help, the person is dominated by the power of sin and continues to do evil when he actually desires to do good. You know, there's some well-intended good people. I'm talking about unbelievers. I mean, you go down in the South and they're polite. You know, they say, yes, sir, yes, yes, ma'am. And, you know, very good-intended people. And they got good behavior. But they're still sinful. Can I get amen? They still need Jesus. We still need to be saved. Our goodness, you know what the Bible says about our own self-righteousness? It's but filthy rags. Filthy rags. And it's a woman's monthly cloth. I'm just going to be polite like that. Okay? But look what I found in 1 Peter up here. Look at this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. Turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, you are a living hope. But the living hope is, look, let's finish the verse. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. If he did not rise from the dead, we would be men and women most miserable. We wouldn't be here today praising him, glorifying him, magnifying him. Why? Because he had to die and then be risen again to give us new life. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed he did it for us?
Yes.
Look at verse 4 right up here. And that resurrection from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible, meaning what's coming that God's going to give us. It's an inheritance, incorruptible, meaning the new body will not be corrupt. The new body won't have no sin. The new body will be perfect. The new mind will be perfect. Everything will be perfect. Look at this. To an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled. We won't be able to defile ourselves anymore. Even when we make mistakes, when we look at things we shouldn't have looked, when we said things we shouldn't have said, when we've done things we shouldn't have done, we won't be able to defile the body no more. Why? Because we will have total peace of mind, and we will have the mind of Christ, and we will have a perfect body. Look at this. And that does not fade away. It will never fade away. How many are so blessed to know that that new body will never fade away?
Amen.
Reserved in heaven for you. Did you check that? Did you see that? It's reserved in heaven. Turn to your neighbor and said, God has made a reservation for you. Look at that. Reserved in heaven for you. Look at this. Verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God. We're kept by the power of God. Did you know that He keeps us? Even though they're like, I didn't want to go pray last night. But He prompted me, look, you need to go. It was God. It was the power of God living in us. If I didn't have God in me, I wasn't going nowhere. I wouldn't even answer it. Look at this. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time.
Amen.
Wow. God's about ready to burst open the skies and call us home. How many can't wait for that? I can't wait for that. Hold on. Hold on. You can smell the coffee already. Hold on. Praise God. Yes, the footsteps of the Messiah are at the door, sister. That's right. So let's move on to verse 21 of chapter 7, and it reads, I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. Did you catch that? There's evil in me, yet I want to do good. You only want to do good because God's living in you now. So that's the struggle. That is the boxing match. That's the war right now. The mind of Christ in you, a changed soul washed in the blood, but the flesh who still wants to have a Burger King life. The flesh still wants to have it its way. Look at this. The fact of life at work is here in the reality that evil is within us. Even when we want to do what is right, we still do things that are wrong. Wow. Look what I found in Psalms. Look what King David wrote. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. They have all turned aside. Look what this is what he sees from heaven. They have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one. See, Paul picked this up from Psalms. We're gonna read in Romans a couple of chapters prior. But did you catch that? They all have turned aside. They have together become what? Corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one. So you have to ask this question. Before you got saved, can you truly say, I was living somewhat of a corrupt life? Okay, so now, some of you grew up morally sound, good parents, you know, goody good two-shoes. There's nothing wrong with that. But guess what? You still needed Jesus. You still needed Jesus. You may not have robbed. You may not have punched anybody in the mouth. You might have not done all these testimonials. Look what God delivered me from. You might have just were a really good kid. Grew up morally sound, obeyed your mom, obeyed the law, obeyed your teachers. And I know a lot of people like that. But they still needed Jesus. Can I get amen?
Amen?
They still need Christ. And so, when we most want to do good, that we become most acutely aware of our propensity not to do so. In other words, it's in us not to obey. It's in us to say no to God. Oh, that's right. Okay. You ever had a six-year-old? You ever been around a six-year-old that just running around? Won't stand still. Won't sit down. And then finally, you come up to the kid and say, listen, I need you to sit down. And this is the last time I'm going to tell you to sit down. So they sit down, right? But in their heart, they're standing up.
waiting for you to walk away.
In their heart, they're standing up.
Mm-hmm. Waiting for you to leave.
Oh, that's right. Listen to this. I found this. A swimmer has no idea how strong the current is until that person tries to swim upstream. Has anyone ever been caught in a riptide? If you don't follow that riptide and you're swimming against it, you will drown. It'll just suck you in and you're done. And when a person faces the current, they find that this law is at work. The current is against her. And so you got to remember, this flesh is against the law of God. The law of my mind now. We got a new mind. We got a new mind, and that mind is Christ. Amen?
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
But I want to show you something, because this is what I found so intriguing when I was putting this study together. Look what King David said. He saw and says God's looking down, and he's looking at mankind, and he says there is none who seeks after God. They've all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is no one who does good, no, not one. Okay? So then Paul picked this up as well. He wrote it down when he got saved. Look at this in Romans 3:10. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. Same thing that King David wrote. Look at that. They have all turned aside. They have together become what? Unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. He's basically quoting this scripture we just read, right? But he goes on further. Verse 13. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. This is our flesh. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Do we know people like that? Oh yes. They'll curse you out with the best of them. Look at this. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. Look at this. Verse 17. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. So, what God showed me was this. That the people that end up getting saved, they just didn't wake up one morning and says, I'm going to go to church and I'm going to go to the altar and I'm going to give my heart to God. Wrong. You ever invite people to come? Oh, you know what? Yeah, I'll see you there. And they never show up. You know they never show up, right? How many people you invite to church? They don't show up. How many times have you shared Christ with them? Oh, I'm glad you found religion. And that was good for you. But I don't want no part of it. So what we're seeing in Scripture here is our natural human nature that we do not seek after God. So God has to quicken you, meaning he initiates the move on you. So he touches your heart, your soul, your mind to turn to him. And once he quickens you, now you turn to him, you see the cross, and you embrace it. Now you're running to him. But he has to what? Initiate and quicken you. Without him initiating it, we're going nowhere. We're going to be like this. And so this is why you have to give God all the glory. You can't say, yeah, I gave my heart back in 1967, yeah. No, God saved you. God gave you a mind to be saved. He gave you a heart to repent. Can I get amen?
Amen.
We can't do this on our own strength. Because none of us are looking for him. And if that ain't enough scripture to prove that point, I don't know what I can do to convince you. And this is why we have to pray for those that God have mercy on them. Oh God, quicken them. Touch their heart like you touched us to turn. When we came, I really believe that when we came to pray for those two last night, as we were praying for Kabina, and she was praying in Spanish to her, God was speaking to her right there.
Yes, thank
you. And quickened her.
Yes.
And made her turn to God. Because as soon as we were done, I asked Lydia, would you like to receive Christ? Yes, yes, I want him right now. I bet that wasn't the case before we came in the room. No, she wasn't seeking after God. I think she was sharing that she had maybe some unforgiveness and thing going on with her and her mom, and you know, how do I get these things right? It was not about getting things right with her. It's about getting things right with God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And she got right with God.
Hallelujah.
Woo! We were just like in awe. And so that showed us what we're teaching tonight, what we're seeing, that God quickened her. Made her come alive unto God. It wasn't our voice. It wasn't no. You have to always reflect it from you, and it was Jesus that did it.
That's right.
Can I get amen?
Amen.
There's nothing. Because why? Because there's nothing good in us.
Right.
But he still wants to use you. My, my, my. Thank you, God. So let's go to verse 22 in Romans chapter 7. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. You see, saints, believers love God's law, referring to the path of obedience to God that the entire Old Testament presents, because they long to know it and do it to please God. So when we get saved, we want to do our best for God, even through what? Our faults and failures. This is one of the scriptures of wisdom here, found in Psalms 1 and verse 2. Look at this right up here. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates what? Day and night. Day and night. You see the problem? The problem is that there's another law at work within. And that other law is the law of sin. Sin's always at work. Okay. There, I don't know how many times this has happened to me. Maybe it's never happened to you. But I'll get on my knees and just want to get one-on-one with God and start praying. Then all of a sudden, these ungodly thoughts come out of nowhere. It's like, what is this? Comes out of nowhere. And you got to bind and rebuke that thought. Because it's already in us not to do good. Wow. Wow. Look what Romans 8 and 2 says. Look at this. Romans 8 and 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
See, it was Jesus, the Holy Spirit, that saved us from our own self. So despite of your body that's going back to the dust, our soul and spirit is going with Christ. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You see, my friends, sin is constantly at war because it will not give up the control over us that it lost when we came into the saving faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. So sin is working even harder to trip you up. Oh yes. Sin fights against our mind because our mind is where we make our decisions and our moral judgments. That's where the battle is. The battle's in the mind. We cannot resist our sin nature in our own power. We can't. It's impossible. And when we try, we will be defeated. Can I get an amen? This will be a good little... Amen. Praise God. We serve Almighty God. Amen. And so, saints of God, I found this in 1 Peter. Look at this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has what? Begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, what? From the dead. Amen. To an inheritance, undefiled, incorruptible, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Amen. I had to repeat that scripture. Why? Because I want it to sink in that what God has prepared for us will never fade away. How many believe that? That incorruptible body is on its way. And guess what? It's tailor-made for you. Tailor-made. There's only going to be one body that's yours, and it's going to look like you, and it'll be you, and it can't be nobody else's. It's tailor-made. So let's move on to verse 23. We got three more verses. Look at this in chapter 7. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Okay? Paul does not say that these powers are equal. But he knows that they're both there. These both powers are there. And we must realize the same. That there's sin in our members, but yet we have the power of God at work as well.
That's right.
One power must be resisted while relying on the other.
Right.
When we fail to rely on Christ's strength for our daily strength, we in essence, saints of God, provide sin with more power over us. And we can't. Look what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians. Look at this. The sting of death is what? Sin. And the strength of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God who gives us what? Victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And that was proven again last night, wasn't it? It was not in vain. Because God decided to show up that evening. He decided to come in the room that says, hey, I'm right here. Wow, it wasn't in vain. I'm glad I was obedient to get up. Get your bigness up and go. I can say that about me. I won't say that about anybody else. Just get your bigness up and go. Hallelujah. You see, my friends, sin's power will not... I better watch myself, huh? Sin's power will not have grown, but our relative weakness will make it seem that way. Sin's power is not an excuse for us to drift spiritually. Can I get amen? Or openly give to the temptation. We have to understand when we are tempted, we have power to overcome that. We don't have to give into it. Can I get amen? Believers must not forget that they have already won because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, capital S, within is greater than the spirit of the world. And I have scripture to back that up right here in 1 John. Look at this. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, let's give God a praise right now. We're coming in for a close. Let's go to verse 24. We got 24 and 25. So verse 24 in chapter 7. Look what Paul wrote. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? You know what? Until I got saved, I didn't know what this verse ever meant. Wretched. But then God puts the mirror on you and says, look, take a deeper look at you. You know, the Holy Spirit is the only entity in the entire universe that will reveal your sin. Oh, that's right. Oprah won't tell you you're sinful. Dr. Phil won't. That's right. But the Holy Spirit will. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. You see, we have to understand our bodies are mortal. And they are bodies that will one day die and go back to the ground. We get that. And as long as we live on this earth in our human bodies, we will face this conflict with sin. It's going to be a constant battle. But we are to what? Continue to battle. Can I get amen?
Amen.
If you're battling, that's a good sign. Yes, right. You haven't surrendered. The backslider surrendered. You got to pray for the prodigal, right? They're on the bench. They've been benched. Our place of residence is our place of least resistance. And as seen above, as long as we are confined to this world, we will experience a measure of struggle and sometimes even defeat. We can lose some battles. Can I get amen? But guess what? Just because we lose a battle doesn't mean that the flesh won the war.
That's right.
Can I get amen?
Come on, amen.
We're going to lose some battles.
Yes.
But Jesus won the war for us. Can I get amen?
Amen.
He's the overcomer. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. But we're not left in miserable defeat, praise God, dominated by sin. Rescue will come. Say that with me. Rescue will come. Because listen, we're promised. We're promised. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, and it's a promise. Look at this right up here in 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, meaning we shall not all die and go to the grave. But we shall be what?
Changed.
In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. Meaning, we'll have the brand new body. And we shall what? Be changed. For look at this. For this, I want you to tap your hand, your arms, and say this. Repeat that scripture. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal, meaning our mortality, must put on immortality. Remember that program a long time ago? Some of you were little, probably didn't ever saw it. The Immortal Man.
Yeah.
Remember that? The Immortal Man?
Yeah.
Man has always wanted to live forever. Well, we're gonna have a body that will be immortal. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed to know that? Come on, Beth. Aren't you so blessed to know that? Oh, come on. And this mortal must put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. Death is swallowed up what? In victory. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And so we're going to break down our last verse of this chapter. And it's in chapter 25. And so he closes this chapter by saying, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord, so that with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Wow. Wow. Now, let me just say this. When he says, but with the flesh, the law of sin, it doesn't mean, I need you to catch this. It doesn't mean living a life that's rebellious to God. What he's saying here, the law of sin, is that this fleshly body, which is sinful, still has to operate in a body of sin. Meaning we have to eat, and then we have, after you eat, then you have to what? Evacuate, right? Yeah. Okay, that was never intended. That was never intended for us. We were supposed to have a body that never had to eliminate. So that elimination is something that's dead and it's sinful. And we're not going to have that in heaven. I need you to catch what God showed me. We think that we're going to serve God in the law of sin, that we're going to be living a rebellious life of sin. No, it doesn't mean that. It means we still have to live out this sinful body that we're in. So as we have to drag this carcass everywhere we go, my mind is serving Christ now.
Come on.
Are you catching it?
Yeah.
Our mind is serving Christ.
Jesus.
We're serving God in this body of flesh that still has sinfulness in it. I know it got a little deep on that, but still, we were not made for that. When sin came in, the fall came. And this is why eventually these bodies of flesh got to go back to the ground. But thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How you defeated death, hell, and the grave. You see, my friends, the triumph is sweeter because the struggle is real. The struggle that we live in this body of flesh, case in point, how many people do you know that struggle with ailments, diabetes, cancer, you know, blood-related issues, things that you were born with, things that weren't self-inflicted, things that, because we live in a body of flesh and sinfulness, like for instance, you're in medical field, so you know there's people that have all kinds of ailments, and it's not their fault. That's the body of sin that we still have to live with. Praise God. In the last few verses, saints of God, we have glimpsed the struggle of a genuine believer, which is Paul the Apostle. He wrote down this for us so that we would understand and that we wouldn't beat ourselves up because when we made mistakes, he was the one to show us, listen, God has this. Keep serving God. Keep loving God. Keep doing your best to obey Him, even through your faults and failures. Because we're going to fail God. Mm-hmm. There's no one's perfect. Can I get amen?
Amen?
But don't let the enemy bring condemnation to you. That's why Paul wrote, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Meaning, no one can ever condemn you anymore. No one can slander you. No one can tell you you're going to hell because God has saved us. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
The devil will try to dupe you. He'll try to convince you, oh, look what you just said. Look what you just did. You got to rebuke that liar because he's the father of lies. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
And if you fall down, get back up.
That's right.
Can I get an amen? Get back up. Oh, I fell. I slipped. Sorry, God. Get back up. And don't stay in that woo-hoo-woo-hoo, that pity party. Get up and go.
Dust yourself up.
That's right. Dust it off. We are more than conquerors through Christ. Can I get an
amen?
Start quoting the scripture. Greater is he that's in me. Hallelujah. I'm washing the blood of the Lamb. I am a child of the Most High God. And when you start exalting him, his peace, his joy, his love, his grace will always be upon you. He gave us the ammunition to live this life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And that's the Word of God and the Spirit of God that lives within us. And because of Jesus Christ, we are assured of a great future. We will one day join Him in eternity with a new body. Can I get an amen? Look what I found here. I believe it was a chapter going back. Not having been set free. Look at this. But now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to what? Holiness. And the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death. We know that. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so, my friends, Christ has won. Jesus has won. Never for one moment ever think that God cannot deliver us from any predicament we find ourselves in. 35 years, I have fallen short of the glory of God. Things that I should have never thought of, things I should have never done, things I should have never said, but yet He has still kept me by His power. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
He's still the one that keeps us. And so just remember this, and I close with this scripture. I found it in John 8:34. Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be what?
Free
indeed." Come on, give God a shout of praise. Is He worthy? Come on, is He worthy? Amen. And those of you that are watching on Facebook and YouTube, if you've never given your heart to Christ, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you. Maybe this is your first or second time that's logged in. And maybe you heard God's voice from a distance. Now it's blurring in your ear. Now He's saying, "Come to me, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest for your soul." God is saying, "Open up your heart and let me come in and sup with you." God is saying that I went to the cross for you, and all you have to do is invite me in and confess that you have sinned and watch what Jesus will do. He'll do what you can't do for yourself. And if that's you, pray this prayer by faith and watch God do the miraculous in your life. Let's all pray for them right now. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Woo! Is He worthy? Amen. Amen.
The Bible says, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call." And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace info@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.